Menards has everything you need to finish up your bathroom before Christmas. Homeworks creates faucets that will align perfectly with your style. Get water without turning on the lights with a LED bathroom faucet. The LED light is hydro-powered and requires no extra steps for installation. On sale now through December 24th. Stop into Menards and see all our Homeworks products and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all our great deals.
Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to InfertileLife, the podcast. This is episode 359 called Renee Bird. This episode is brought to you by Fertile. Hey friends, it's Allie. If you're in the middle of your what else can we try family building era, listen up. Fertile is the first and only sterile, FDA cleared at-home insemination kit designed for intracervical insemination, so sperm is placed right at the cervical opening. It's engineered to mimic the precision of an IUI, just 1 inch lower, but without washed sperm, meds, or appointments. Fertile is also triple patented, made in the US with IVF grade materials, and clinically validated. The kit comes with 3 sterile attempts, so you can cover your 3 most fertile days each cycle. It's as easy to use as a tampon, it ships discreetly, and it's HSA, FSA eligible. So who is Fertile for? Folks with unexplained infertility, LGBTQIA+ families, solo parents by choice, or anyone delaying IUI or IVF because of cost or burnout. If you want an option that's private, empowering, and science-backed, this is your sign. Okay, so here's what to do. Go to Fertile.com today and use code InfertileAF for $10 off. That's Fertile, pronounced Fertile, but spelled with a PhD out of spite. They told Dr. Jen she wouldn't be a mother, and she used her PhD to prove them wrong. Again, that's PhERDAL.com and use code InfertileAF. Thanks, Fertile. Okay, guys, if you've ever wondered how to explain IVF and ART to a kid without making it weird, hi, I wrote these books. The Work of Art series helps families talk about how babies were really made, with love, science, and a whole lot of heart. So you can check out Work of Art, Beautiful Bird, and the board book, You Are a Work of Art, at my website, which is infertileafgroup.com. Again, it's infertileafgroup.com. Thank you so much for your support. Okay, I'm so excited about today's guest. It's Renee Bird, and she is a British-born singer, songwriter, and media personality known for her powerful voice, her soulful pop and R&B style, and her bold, heartfelt storytelling, including the story she's going to tell us today. So at 48 years old, Renee became a mother through IVF, and she's here to talk really honestly about everything that led up to that point. Emotionally, physically, spiritually, financially, she's going to talk about how she met her husband in a bar, how she went on this life-changing retreat with one of her best friends. She's also going to talk about being a mom at the age of 48 and some of the backlash she got about her decision, even from some of her loved ones. So she's amazing. This episode is great. And without further ado, this is Renee on Infertile AF. It's so nice to see you. How's it going?
Very well, thank you. Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to share my story with everyone listening. So I'm doing well. It's a bit cold and gray in London. I don't know if you've ever come here before, but it's not the nicest.
I have. I've been to London a few times, not as many as I'd like, but yes. And it's actually, I'm in Jersey and It's freezing here today. Well, let's start with just some basic stuff. Where did you grow up? Did you grow up in and around London?
I did. I'm born and bred in London. Okay. So city. And my family, my ethnic origin is from Jamaica. So my grandparents were born over there and my parents were born here. So I'm third generation Caribbean.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So okay. Very interested in my upbringing. British, but obviously the West Indian values.
Right. So tell me about growing up. What did you know about sex education? What did you learn about, you know, fertility, your own body?
You know, there's very little. Because I think at that time, you know, we're talking, I'm 49 now. So
yeah,
that time they didn't speak. It was taboo to talk about even sex. You know, we had sex education in school. And it was really giggly moments. And my parents spoke briefly, more of my mum than my father, because I don't think they ever wanted to even have sex until maybe you're about 50. Mm-hmm. But my mum, you know, shared things about reproductive systems and be careful and make sure it's love driven as opposed to just having intimacy without it. So I was told that. But very taboo. Fertility, absolutely not. Reproductive system, to know how to look for things, not told anything. I had to figure that out as I got older. And definitely fertility treatments, it's completely taboo in my culture because we're very Christian-oriented, majority of us. So we just believe whatever's going to be, God will bless you, and that's kind of it. So it wasn't something that I was aware of at all.
Did you always want to have kids, though, eventually?
I did. I was the lady or the girl that had loads of kids around. So I'm the oldest of my brothers. I've got three brothers. And it's 8 year and 11 year gap. So they were my babies, effectively. My mum had me fairly young as well. So there's a massive gap there. They had me at 19. So they were kids when they had me.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Having babies, my brothers or my friends who were much my age have got babies. I've had babies throughout my whole life. And I always used to wonder, when is it going to happen for me as I was getting older? Because I've had babies. There's never been an issue about just not push my own out, you know, and very sensitive to babies I don't even know. So charities, World Vision, I used to sponsor babies. I thought, I haven't got one, so let me sponsor a child in India and Africa. So I've always.
Oh, I love that.
Very sensitive. So it was a yearning in my heart. But, you know, I just had to be patient. It's one of the hardest things to do as you're a woman. When that was going to happen, if and when.
Right. Tell me about how you got into music and what does that look like today? Like, what is your musical career looking like these days?
So my father was, well, let's backtrack a bit. I come from, I know it's very cliche, but a religious background. You might have heard me speak about that. But my grandfather, being over from Jamaica, came to London and created one of the first Pentecostal denominations over here, the following the community. So my family is very well known in that sector over here in London. My uncle, Bishop John Francis, he then took the mantle and he has five churches in London. He has a church, I think, in Dubai, even Atlanta. He's very well known. T.D. Jakes, that kind of setup. So as a child, music was always around me. He had a choir that sung for the king, the queen, because he's not the king anymore. And I just heard choirs all the time. I heard music all the time. And then my father went off and did more secular stuff, had a deal with RCA. So I was the child that was always around musos. Did I know I was going to sing? No, but I was the kid that sang with the brush. And then they realized actually it was through a out of the blue recording session where my dad had some backing singers that were supposed to come. They didn't turn up. And I was like, I can do it.
And I'll do it, Dad.
And when he heard me, he couldn't believe it. It was like, oh my God, all this time I've got my daughter that can sing. And everyone knows the music industry is very fluffy. It's very hard. It's very cutthroat. And they didn't necessarily want me in something that he knows. He's seen it, done it, wore the t-shirt. So I went for the education route. I come up, have a corporate background. I'm educated and all of that stuff. So I was in and out of it throughout my whole life, effectively. I released a single just to fast track even more. I've been doing it for many years, music. But I released a single in the COVID times. And as you can imagine, my campaign was literally going to start in March. And March is when it all went. So I had a lot of money behind it, video, everything. Can I press a button? And then COVID hit. And I'm a very sensitive person of being an artist. I'm going to help heal because the song is born again. It's all very beautiful. But I was very conscious of what was going on. Everyone was frightened. So I couldn't make it about myself. I had to put the music out. The video was circulating. I did the campaign, but it didn't hit the way I wanted. Even though it's funny, in hindsight, I was looking at my figures. It's gone all over the place. I haven't had an international hit, but it's been global.
Right.
So I said, okay, at this time, let me pause. I love talking, as you can see a little bit. I have a good media presence, as in social presence. Let me use this platform for this time to expose and help and let people hear, learn about certain people I've known along the way, celebrities, brand owners. And I started with lives, because everyone was doing lives back then, and just shared people like fitness trainers to help people in this journey in COVID. And it just went, it's funny.
Yes.
Was online and it was called the Who Am I, and it is called the Who Am I Talk. So this podcast, 62 episodes later, not as much as you, done incredible. Interviewed people from Karen Millen, an American guy called Paul Bronson, directors of films, people in industry, brand owners. And I went in a different direction. I just pivoted for a bit. So, and then through COVID, I had a sickness. I had the really bad version of COVID, which I'm having a throat operation or op, which has some polyps. So singing.
Oh, wow.
So that was very frightening for someone that uses their voice as a podcaster as well.
Absolutely.
And I realized at the time it was underactive thyroid that I was having that needed to be treated, which was actually spurring on the reason behind it. So thankfully that's under treatment right now. So what is it going on with me? Confidence is a thing. I've now been building my voice back up because going through all of that, launching a campaign that didn't work, doing the Who Am I talks, being incredible. It's now reliving and trying to nurture that side of me again.
Let's talk about when you started. I know you froze your eggs at one point, right?
I did at 37.
Okay. So tell me about that and what led to that decision and how did it go?
Well, it was advice given to me by someone that actually understands a bit more than I did. Because, you know, there's so much noise on the internet and you hear different things. And I didn't understand the process and I was a bit embarrassed thinking, why would I do something like that? I'm going to be fine, you know, because you get older and older. But when it was explained to me that it gives you options, you've got that sitting there. And then at least as you're embarking in your life, you have the opportunity sort of when you are of a certain age, you go ahead and then you realize it's not viable. So I was given that advice and I'm so grateful for that. And then I followed it through, had the procedure, not the most comfortable, but had that done. Mm-hmm. And let it sit there. Didn't think much more of it. Just knew it was a little section of my life. Mm-hmm. I know what's happened now, how important it was for me to go through that process.
Right. So how did it go specifically with like taking all the meds and then the retrieval and that whole process? How did you find that process?
I found it very intrusive. Like I'm not a person that's not personable. I'm very open. I'm open book. But I felt like even though we're doing this, what does that look like? You know, what the time is, I had to be very structured. Luckily, I've got that background. So I understand you got to get this done. You got to do all the things by a certain time. But because I've had like fibroids, I've had the treatments and it wasn't so bad because I know what it's like to be cut. I know what it's like to have a pap test, that type of thing.
What was going on, if you don't mind me asking, you know, like, were you wanting to find a partner when you eventually wanted to have a baby? Like what was going on in your like dating life and like your romantic life?
Bar crash.
She just rolled her eyes for the listeners who can't see.
Yeah, I think dating is changed, as you can imagine. You know, you can meet somebody in a chance, which happened for me, luckily, but you can meet people in a chance situation or someone introduces you and you think, do you really know me? We're like, this guy is not for me or vice versa.
Right.
I thankfully treated the dating as a situation almost like how I network, because I have to be a big networker in my industry, and just thought not put so much pressure on this experience. And when I say the car crash, there's been moments where I'm like, why am I here? I need to leave this room. But you don't want to be rude to the individual. You just kind of don't have a second date. Yeah.
Right.
But I treated when I started getting a bit more serious, like I'm getting older. I'm hearing the thumping of, am I going to settle down? I'm hearing the noise from the family. That's all they do, isn't it? You know, you're at this age now, what's going on? Not realize it's not easy.
And right. So were you feeling pressure from like family members and stuff?
Yeah, because I've gone to every, you know, baby shower, every christening, every wedding. I've been bridesmaid, never the bride. You start thinking, hold on a second, something's a bit odd. But I wasn't unhappy about it because I was living a great life. I was very busy in my music career. Mm-hmm. I was getting out to events. I wasn't like sitting at home eating popcorn and chocolate. It wasn't that.
Right.
But I was aware that time was ticking and your eligibility can seem to go down as you get older. You know, men, sorry to be sexist, but they like young women, you know, and I was getting older. So you want a certain caliber and you think, will you fit that mold? And then also being in entertainment, because I would go on stage and do some men could be quite intimidated by that because I'm out there performing. Other men might find me attractive, that kind of thing. So I had that around it too. And I used to find when I did meet very amazing men along the way, they would say, how would you have time for me? Because I was very busy. I had a corporate job alongside my music job. One was funding the other. So I was spinning around in a boardroom and then going to performing at night. So they're like, okay, so how do you even have a relationship? What happened to me, which actually changed my whole perspective, is even through that, you can have moments of insecurities. You start thinking maybe you're not good enough because you've seen people getting married. So maybe there is something not quite right.
Right.
To find that inner peace. And what really helped me was spending time. I like being with me, which is a good thing because you've got to love you before anyone can love you. That's the first thing. And I had various disappointments, relationship breakups. I was with someone for quite a long period from like my 20s to my mid 30s. So that's my life effectively. And having him was almost like being married anyway, but that didn't work out. So you just start thinking, as you're getting older, is it really going to happen? Is it something? And you hear the stories, you watch the programs and the films. But I went on a Ayurvedic retreat to Madeira. This was the real turning point in my life. And I was supposed to go with my brother to Goa with his girlfriend, but I thought, all third leg, I don't want to do that. Let me try and explore. And I spoke to actually my cousin at the time. She's like, oh, no, no, why don't you just go find something local, not too far. As a woman, you don't want to travel too far. So I went to a 7-day Ayurvedic retreat, which was yoga, twilight yoga, meditation, massage, eating Ayurvedic food. And it changed my life. It was my eat, pray, love moment.
Oh, sounds amazing. And what did you walk away from that with? Like, what changed?
I loved me. I realized I needed to purge. So I was crying some nights. Really weird things was happening. I was dreaming some really odd things, seeing things. But, you know, I think my body was going for a detox because I was eating right. I had the sun. I was having massages. I was meditating. I was doing yoga. I think I just I purged myself of whatever I needed to. And reading books, I was nourishing my knowledge and my mind. And I came away on top of the world. I was getting so much attention from men because I was giving off an energy that was just, I'm just so happy.
Wow.
I didn't realize I wasn't doing that. Not to say I've never had that, but there was a different energy. I wasn't not covered, but just almost like, just with whatever it's going to be.
It's almost like when you let go of it and you know, I love that you said you nourished your brain and your mind. Like, that's such a great way to look at it, you know. And if dating or finding somebody isn't at the forefront, then you don't have that, like, almost like that desperation energy that you maybe don't even realize, you know, not you, but that one might have. And it seems like you didn't have that.
I was just at peace. I've always been that person that if it was a Valentine's, I'll still do stuff for myself. So I was giving off some energy.
Yes.
I'd walk down the road and a guy would go, oh, what's that? You know, it was very
the pheromones,
which were all high in the right place.
Yeah, but you're vibing. You're like high energy vibes.
Yeah. And I realized it was just the love of me, not to say that, like, that I didn't love me, but there was something else happening. Do you understand? And it was, it was just like, I'm at peace. I'm this age. It's all right. Let me just keep living. Let me keep doing what I'm doing. And I've just had this peace knowing that if whatever's going to come my way is going to come my way. And actually not long after that, it did, because I was in a different energy space.
So you met your partner at a bar, right? Tell me about that. What happened?
So that was a chance encounter. It's so, like, film orientated.
Yes, it's a meet cute.
This new energy that I was giving off and this new kind of, like, let's be cheeky, gave me the confidence, even though I'm quite confident, to just say, hey, you know, what's it like up there? He's a really tall guy, 6'5". You know, what's life like up there? And he just kind of was really cool. And he's American, so you can imagine thinking, who's this British woman even daring? So he had his accent. But I give you another story based on that. When I heard his accent, I was like, you're from America, but they've got different accents from different states. Where are you from? And he was like, I'm from the South. And I was like, oh, my God. You sound like you're from an area called Atlanta. And he's like, yeah. So let me go back a little bit. In my 30s, I spent a lot of time in Atlanta. I was back and forth. That was one of my places I wanted to reside. I loved it because as a woman of color, there's a lot of very successful people over there in my
world.
And I always thought, oh, it's nice to see yourself in certain positions. So in my 30s, I tried to go over there. It didn't work. I didn't have the right visa. So when I heard his accent, I said, you're from Atlanta. And I could tell him everything about it. And I just thinking, hold on a minute. Is this the serpent? That moment where
serendipitous. Yes. Moment.
When they say your time, you can think and you can plan, you can plot. When it's meant to be, it will be.
Simple. Okay. So what happened next?
Yeah. So we met the next day. It was there. My phone, I should have known better. My phone had about 15,000 messages because I was obviously enjoying myself with him in the bar, drinking in the corner. And he said, could you show me around London? I said, yeah, of course. But I wanted to still keep it safe because, you know, I don't know who this person is, do I? Really?
Right.
So we met up the next day. And you know what? We just clicked on every single level. I was 41 at the time. He was 34. So he was still quite young. But what I loved, studying at the time for his bar. So he'd done his New York bar as an attorney. And I loved his ambition. Because another thing I want to say to your audience, we always look for this perfect. we want the perfect man at the perfect opportunity, perfect time, perfect job, perfect salary, blah, blah, blah. What you have to look at is who is he and what is his journey? What's his purpose and where could he be? And can you both do it together? Because now knowing where we are, I see that us coming together is what nourished all the things that he has become. And I hear some of my female friends now, or even ones in the past, that were looking for all the list. And you have a list. Of course you do. You
sure.
But I'm so glad that I saw him and believed in who he is to know where he is now, because he was a student. Think about it. I was corporate job, running around on stage.
Right.
I saw him, but I saw this warmth and I saw what he was going to be if we worked together and we nourished each other.
Okay. So how long before you started talking about, you know, having kids together?
So we think 41, I would say about 4 years in, because he was, so my biggest fear being with him at 41 and he's 34, like, okay, you do know, like, I'm past, you know, just
kind of right.
How do you feel about being with an older woman? And he used to say, you know, sometimes you're all stuck in your ways because you kind of know what you want, you've established. Can I really bend you? And bless him, maybe that's not even the case now, because I do know what I'm doing. But I think there's a fear in a younger man. We are very established. We do know what we want. We are financially astute. And we are kind of who we are at that point. Whereas some men, when they date young, they can kind of mold them. They can make them. They can. And I think that was a fear of his. But I think now, when looking back to how we were and what we are now, I helped grow and he helped me in various ways, because he was younger. So I was able to kind of hang out and just be chill out a little bit, because we're going to be uptight when we get older, you know? So he was able to feed into me and I was able to feed into him. So that was a little bit of a concern. But I did speak and I had to say to him, you know, I don't want to disappoint you because I am older. It's going to be harder regardless of the egg throat. It's not going to be an easy journey. Are you okay to walk with me with that? And he was very open and beautiful about it, especially culturally as a man of color. Sometimes it's a man in general, let's not put the color into it. They don't want to do anything. They're just like, well, that's a woman thing. But he was caring about walking with me and making sure that every decision we made together to support me. And I'm grateful for that.
I read that once you started to try, you know, you were kind of going like holistic methods and things like that.
I think I've used every supplement you can. I was constantly on Google. Okay. Oh, stalk. What's this one? Oh, let's try that.
Totally.
Chinese. But I will say this on a serious note. I realized quite quickly after reading the stories of people conceiving, not conceiving, I felt in my heart that you have to get your body prepared. One of the most important things of the journey to where I am right now is preparation. So a lot of women who are my age or even younger, we take contraceptives. We've been on the pill, the injections and all sorts of stuff. And that's not doing a great job to us in any capacity. And we don't realize that until we're about to embark on the idea of fertility and trying for a child. That's everybody. And what it's done to your body, what is masked that could be going on with your body, all the different underlying conditions that people don't even realize they had. So I had to go detox. So all these supplements and things to learn, I had to almost rid my body and cleanse it to put it in the best position it could be in to do what I was about to do. And I believe in my heart that has really helped where I am now, because I had to rid myself of the alcohol that I love to drink, which is champagne and whatever else. I'm not a drug taker or a smoker, but literally think about everything I was eating, almost like I was pregnant. What am I nourishing my body? So when the vessel that I was going to create for my child to be held has to be the best. And I think it's helped me psychologically, because it's a psychological thing you go through infertility.
Sure.
That if I give myself the best chance, whatever the results, because I heard so many different stories from other people, at least I know I tried. Does that make sense? You go in the best way. It's like if you're preparing for an exam, isn't it? You study for your exam. If you know you didn't, why are you complaining that you didn't work?
Right. Yes. Yes. So you were trying naturally, you hadn't gone, you know, the reproductive technology route or anything yet. How were you guys doing like mentally when it wasn't happening? Did it affect your mental state at all?
It did. It did, because I was going through a transition at the same time. So I didn't know what I was feeling half the time. So I'd have my breast tender and I'd like, oh, maybe go and check. No, it's not that. Oh, it's because I'm going through perimenopause, because this is what happens. And then I was also
really perimenopause at the same time. Okay. Yep.
And then also, if I'm coming off the contraceptive I've been on forever, that does
hormones.
Skin was, it was just not knowing what is what what is the, yep. what is the results of whatever I'm doing? So it was very frustrating. And then my monthlies were all over the place. So it was so hard to track what I actually should be doing. All my monthlies on now. Oh, let me stop. Oh, maybe we can do it here. My ovulation process or period was just everywhere. That was one of the hardest things.
Okay. So when did you turn to a fertility doctor and decide that IVF was the route you needed to go?
Yeah, I said, I forgot. It's crazy. Because I was so wrapped up in the rapture of love, as they call it, that I'd actually froze my egg. Does that make any sense? I forgot that I've got, because I didn't go into that deep. I just thought, yeah, we're together now. Let me just try. I'm having
period. Right.
I then thought, hold on a second, stop, pause. You can do this differently now. Don't, and why are we waiting as I'm going through my transition? You're actually closing your window or making it even harder.
Yes.
Process. So let's just speed it up. So not too long after, it wasn't that long, 2 years after that, we said we just need to create a cracking because you're now older anyway. And it's not working, and it can, because I've known somebody much older than me that's conceived, but let's give ourselves the best chance with the quality and know that we're not going to be frightened for the whole process of birth, you know, through maternity, wondering what's going on with my baby anyway. We've
Right.
given more of a chance, get him in check. So I think through the rapture, I forgot what I'd had sitting there and
Right.
how he would feel about this conversation. That was one of my biggest fears, but he was being beautiful about it.
Right. Okay. So the plan was, let's take those frozen eggs and make some embryos and try to have a baby, right?
Yeah. And then he had tests. I obviously had to undergo a lot of stuff. As you know, it's a very intrusive process and everything has to work for it to work. And I didn't realize that. And even I read and I was on every seminar you can be on, but I didn't realize that it's so spiritual that it has to happen because, you know, down-regulating my reproductive system, bringing it back, you know, all of that has got to work for it to work.
It is wild how many things have to line up for someone to have a healthy pregnancy and a healthy baby. It's like a miracle that it happens at all when you think about all the millions of things that need to go right.
Yeah. And I realized I can now speak very openly and comfortable because I had no clue. I've heard of people. I think it's funny when you start talking about it, people come and tell you, well, actually, I did this.
Oh my gosh. We were just talking about this over the weekend, that when you share a story, then people come out of the woodwork. Oh, that happened to me. Oh, that happened to me.
And then they'll think, actually, this is the problem. We all need to talk about it.
Yes.
Because people could be suffering or scared, wondered. And that was, I mean, I'm so grateful for my husband. I said, are you okay with us sharing something very personal? Like my family were a little bit, oh, I don't know if I'd gone that. But that's how people are going to learn and grow. That's how when they see a woman of color, they're going to go, well, I can do this. Because some people might be pulling back and not doing anything because they're so scared of the taboo around it. But there is nothing more precious than holding your child by doing that, you know, by taking that plunge and doing it differently. Okay, it's not, as they say, orthodox from a Christian, but it's got to be something godly that happened. Because as you said, the amount of things that has to work, it's a miracle. It's no way is it just me. My body did it. No. There's a little bit more going on. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So what happened when you did start IVF?
So, I looked at a video the other day, lots of tears, hormones everywhere. I was scared because, one, it's financially hitting. And I was like, what if it doesn't work? Or how am I going to feel if I get the bad news? Or what happens after this? Do we go again? Because if we go again, I've heard people do 4 or 5 rounds. I mean, I was scared in the process, not knowing what I was going to expect and not knowing what was about to happen.
Right.
I'll say this. Whoever's going to embark on this, you choose very wisely on who you decide to.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, everything. every style, every home.
Keep your family safe this Christmas season with help from Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Kidde detectors feature enhanced sensing technology that reduces false alarms and give fast alerts for more time to get out safely. Right now, all Kidde smoke, carbon monoxide, and combination detectors are on sale through December 24th at Menards.
Four seasons greetings to you all from Menards.
Go through this process. What I mean by that, the clinic you choose is the most important thing. Do you feel comfortable with whoever's going to come and help you create a life? Because it's not just like when you go to a hospital and you're an antenatal, whoa. It's right. A very different experience. And I had to get my head around, I didn't want to be negative, but disappointment, almost think, you know what, how will I feel if it doesn't work? And I got peace with that I know, as I said, I tried, I'm going to do the best I can. And I'm going to go into it with a very positive mindset. And I'm a vision boarder as well. So I actually saw my son before he came. I had a little trainer, a heel and a little trainer. And there was a little picture on there that I put there with a baby in a cot. It's just crazy. It was a little boy. So I think my spirit and mind have been manifesting it. And they say, if you can visualize it, you start to become it, don't you? Mm. So I had to keep my vibrations as rose as I could and remind and be not around people that are going to stunt it. Because unfortunately, I'm sure you agree, when we speak about this, someone always tells you the negative. No one's actually said, you know what? You never guess what? My friend had twins. They've said, oh no, my friend had four rounds. I'm like, oh, great.
Right. Thanks.
Didn't conceive at all. Oh, brilliant. No one tells you the positive. So you are literally thrown into these conversations.
Right.
You feel terrible. So going through the process, had to take some time to find a clinic. That was really important to me. I wanted to find a place which cares. Because it's very easy. I'm sorry to say, fertility is a money-making industry. Just remember this. A lot of people is financially very lucrative. They can make dreams as well as they can't, yeah? So I wanted to find someone that, even if it was a good market employer, I felt comfortable. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a clinic that cared. I found a clinic that had actually good 100%, or not 100%, but near enough success rate. That's really important.
Mm-hmm.
They had good stories being told. And then honesty as well. They were honest, this is what can happen. How do you feel about that? Offering counseling beforehand, you know, before you even embark on it. Those things.
I think having that transparency from the clinics and the doctors. And for me, I got very lucky. I didn't do a ton of research in terms of who I was going to work with. I was in New York at the time and I ended up with the best doctor who I'm still friends with, who I work with all the time now. He was wonderful, but he was my teammate. And that was really, really important. He wanted it for me as badly as I wanted it for myself. And that was really cool. And unfortunately, it's not always like that, but it can be, which is what I always try to tell people, you know, when they tell me I feel like a number at my clinic or I've never even met my doctor, I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way. But I know it's also not easy. Sometimes you have to go with a certain clinic because insurance or the location you're at. So it's not always easy to find. But they are out there if you have that, you know, luxury, I guess.
Absolutely. So that really helped, and having a great practitioner. And I even remember, obviously, the big beta test that you have to do to determine that you're even pregnant after the transfer. And the transfer itself is like, wow, this is just something you can't even fathom. I've not seen it. I didn't even Google it. And I think it's a good thing I didn't.
Yeah. Sometimes ignorance is bliss.
That in itself, I remember coming home and not feeling I can walk properly. I was really weird. It's almost like I didn't want to do anything. I just felt like I wanted to just go into a little bubble and just leave me there for 2 weeks.
Totally. I remember being like, I don't want the baby to fall out, you know, like just having all these irrational thoughts.
And then obviously you're not sharing it. So you're having to go through this. If some people might tell everyone, but I was very adamant for us to be a personal experience between me and my husband, to go through the stages. Like most women, regardless whether it's IVF or not, go through until you feel 100%, if there's such word, comfortable that you can go, guess what? You know, so you're going through all of these feelings and experiences solo with your husband or your partner, you know? So that was very strange. The most beautiful experience, and I'll never forget it, in April, was when I went for my test, because you have to, and I was so, every pharmacy I walked past, I had to kind of close my eyes, because guess what I wanted to do?
You want to get pregnancy tests, right?
That's all I, and they said, don't go anywhere near it. And that was really hard for me. But I didn't, and I listened, because you have to follow what they tell you. That's one thing I will say. If they give you instructions, follow it. There's a reason. Yeah? So I didn't.
Yeah, I was like you. I didn't test, but I know a lot of people who test early, you know, just and to each his own, to each her own, of course.
I just wanted to say, you know what, let's make sure when they do it. And I did the research and they said beta will really give you the answers because they know the numbers. And
right.
All that.
Well, I was scared I was going to get like a false positive or a false negative. So I was like, I'm just going to wait for the clinic and the lab and all that.
That's right. So anyway, yeah. So did my blood tests in the morning. My other half wasn't even with me because what happens, he's from obviously America. He didn't have access to come here. So I had to do all of that myself. So I was going to phone him where he was. So I got a call and I was talking to him at the time. So I got to go. And I think it's them. So he dropped the call, bless him, falling apart. Then I phoned him crying. So he's thinking, oh no. But I just said to him, God is powerful, God is gracious. And he realized very quickly he's faithful. And he realized I'm telling him that I am having his baby. And
my gosh. What a moment.
It was the most beautiful. And the woman, she was crying, telling me that. So I thought she was telling me bad news because we got on so well. She knows what I'm injecting for. It was just the most beautiful experience. And
yes.
Just that moment, I didn't know that I would have that experience. You know, like it's your whole life kind of rushes that you go, wow, this is the time, this is the day I've been waiting for that I can say, oh my God, you know, having a baby.
Absolutely. And can you tell us how old you were at the time?
Yeah. So that I was 48 at the time.
Yes. So tell me about that. I know there was a whole article. And like I said, that's how I found you, was this Business Insider article. And the headline was, you know, I had a baby through IVF at 48. So it's, you know, no secret. I think it's so cool to share these stories. What was that like for you being, as they say, of advanced maternal age? I was too, because I was 40.
It was, a lot of people, they say I don't look my age, but they were a lot of like, when I gave them my date of birth, they're like, what? How? What?
So yes. Yeah, you definitely look young.
So like, okay, you've been serious. I think, yeah, I am. But also on a really sad note, a lot of people would say really cool things to me, like, you know,
really,
you know how old you're going to be when he's this age, or actually, why would you do that? That's a little bit selfish. And I'm like, wow, it's a different time now. But it was, and just little digs, you know, I just felt like, oh gosh, really? Like this,
and that hurts, right? Yeah. Especially after everything you've been through, and how badly you want this child.
Yeah, and they're trying to say it's a joke, but you know they're not. They're just, why would you be so cruel? And remember, I'm carrying, so I don't even know what's ahead of me. You know, until I had him and held him in my arms after my C-section and saw him take his breath. That was the only point I went.
Yes.
And I still had other things to think about because obviously you got to watch them and, you know, all sorts of stuff are thrown at you. But I never, ever settled. I was constantly on edge.
It's such a good point, especially after, you know, any kind of loss or going through infertility.
Thank you.
You know, having, when you get pregnant, yes, that's a mile. It's a win, but it's not like, oh, now it's going to be, you know, all roses and butterflies because it's, you know, you still feel so nervous. You know, I think it's important to share that too, is there's something different about being pregnant after going through infertility or, you know, going through IVF. You don't have that blissful, like, it's going to be amazing. Like, you know, you're kind of always waiting for the other shoe to drop or something to happen.
And you're worried.
And it's scary. And then, you know, I don't know if you felt this way, but I did. There's also like that guilt of like, you feel like you can't complain. You know, if you're pregnant and you're tired, because people are like, well, you wanted this so badly. You did this to yourself. You know, there's like a weird mind thing that goes on too, that we put on ourselves, I feel like sometimes.
I agree.
People will say rude comments.
They almost think, as I said, on my notes, you had this big high risk. I was like, oh my God, really? Like you just felt like you had these lights flashing on your folder that you walk around.
Right.
That so you're like, okay, you're one of those. But you know, this my whole antenatal experience was incredible. I can't fault them. They were really caring. They were checking me all the time and I felt safe, and I did a bit of research, but you have to be careful. Google can go down a hole, and AI is just crazy.
Oh yeah.
But I knew enough to know what I needed to do, and I knew enough to know what they should be doing. Doesn't make any sense. So I would ask them questions and I felt at peace. I didn't feel there was any concerns, and I was learning because of IVF and just what you have to go through before and what you start becoming in tune with your body. I started to know when I didn't feel right. And I had a really beautiful pregnancy, thankfully. Better than people maybe me. I just was bouncing about, still going out. I just listened and just kept happy. The most important part, my vibrations are so high, I didn't want anything to spoil this little moment, because this is my moment, isn't it? My time.
Right. Absolutely. Were you able to perform at all while you were pregnant?
I was saying a little bit, but I heard the lung thing can happen. And I remember I just out of breath. I couldn't hold it too long.
But because like, I'm going to do two songs and then I'm out.
That's it. I'm out. I was doing obviously podcasts and stuff, and you could see my face getting fatter and fatter. I remember I kept it away from socials. So I was doing pictures, but I would never show this part. So it's only I saw somebody that knew me, they would run over, oh my God, you know, but you wouldn't see it from the top bit. So I kept it off until after, and then I shared, this is what I've been doing for the last 12 months, you know?
Yes.
But people, when they did find out and they saw, they were just so happy. That was the most beautiful thing, other than the noise I had to deal with. People were so beautiful. Because they knew that something in my heart, and I was almost like confirmation that you can have what you want. You can have that dream. You can actually get that miracle.
Tell me about life with the babe.
Oh, I say this, no one prepares you for what's to come. People give you, as I said, the good bits. They don't tell you what you sit there in anxiety, not knowing what's happening, wondering what this little noise means. Maybe I've just been over the top, because I'm sure you agree, because he's so precious and how you went through, you're a little bit maybe more over the top. I'm not saying that every woman don't feel like that, but I feel that I'm just, what is wrong with you? Just chill out. He's doing what all babies do, but I felt like I was over, just worried about this. Can you lay here? Can we move him to this side? Can he sleep on this front? No, we can't. So I felt that I was checking and counter checking everything. So it's scary.
Maybe
should be. Does that make sense? I was
totally. Has it calmed down a little bit as he's gotten older?
Absolutely.
Okay, because then you start to know who your kid is.
Yeah.
And, it's scary. It is scary for everybody at first, but I totally understand what you're saying. Are there challenges of, you know, being an older mom? Like, what have you found?
Absolutely. The one thing I'll say, just to speak on the positive, patience, I've got a load of it. I'm just like, whatever. I'm chilled out, you know. I've kind of seen it, done it. So I've got much more patience than maybe others may, but I feel that that's definitely there. Exhaustion. Like,
yes.
I was told, make sure you get as much sleep as you can. Yeah. What?
Oh my gosh, yes.
If isn't this, you don't feel nothing like it. It's like you're a walking zombie.
Totally.
And to perform to this child that just cries and you don't know what it means. So caution at another level being older. I love my sleep. Baby actually likes to sleep too. So we both have a good nap together.
That's good.
It is really tiresome. And just being married and having a child, just having a relationship. What? How do you do? You know what? I've just got to look after him. I haven't got time for you. I do. You know what I mean?
It's I know. It's hard. It's hard.
We just feel kind of out of sorts. And that takes so long to, you know, they say the postpartum. I'm like, what? It takes a long time. And you've got to, that's what I would say to a woman. Be kind to yourself. Take your time. You've got, you're being a mom. That's enough. Other than all the other things that you think you need to.
Right.
The social thing. Everything's being thrown at you. Give yourself time.
Yeah. So also, Renee, what would you say to someone who is, you know, in their 40s or mid 40s even, who maybe wants to go down this road, you know, wants to consider it? Maybe they're getting some backlash from friends or, you know, society. What would you tell them that you know about, you know, your journey and this process that you didn't know then?
Yeah, I would say to them, ignore the noise, because that can really throw you off. You will never do it if you listen to other people, and it's not their concern. It's your and your husband's concern. It's your story, your contract, your being. So definitely ignore the noise. Be really careful about what you do Google, because it can actually make you feel worse than going through it. So try and find the positivity in things. Does it make sense? Look for the good stories. Look for the positive stories. Be kind to yourself with the whole process. And be realistic as well. Know that we are older. So nothing's going to be everything's, you know, bubbles and stuff. It's not. You're going to go through really tough experiences through this, emotionally, hormones, all different things. But it's no one else's business. That's the thing. I think a lot of people can actually make you feel bad through this experience. And that's the sad part, isn't it? You'd hope that people would be kind to you, but actually sometimes you're not getting the right information. So be really careful who you surround yourself around through this journey. It's very important. You want uplifting people. What you watch on TV, your atmosphere is everything, yeah? Because it sets up your mindset, your physicality as well. That's what I would say to anyone.
Okay, thank you so much for listening and spreading the podcast around. If you guys have 2 seconds to go, rate and review the pod on Apple or Spotify. It really helps it with the algorithm and get noticed and get the word out to more people. Also, shameless host plug, check out the work of art books. They're about IVF, egg donors, surrogacy, embryo donation, LGBTQ plus family building, and explained in a way that kids actually understand. Every family story deserves to be told, which is why I wrote these books, and you can find them on my website at infertileafgroup.com. Thanks, and I will talk to you guys next time.
Appliances for the holiday season? Menards is the place to shop. We have appliances ready to take home today. Whether you want new laundry appliances or need upgrades for your kitchen, you'll be sure to find appliances that'll make your life easier. Visit our excellent in-stock appliance selection today. Plus, check out menards.com to view all of our great deals happening this week.
Boy, season's greetings to you all.